We are failing miserably in what we need to be doing. And, you know, I'm not trying to be a down or a negative or anything of that nature. I'm just being honest. There are so many people groups in this world just not being reached at all with the gospel. All right, I want you to open your Bibles to John. John chapter 6. And the Lord burdened my heart about this particular passage and message all week long. John chapter. Actually, I tried to do a different one and God wouldn't let me. I said, okay, Lord. By the way, when Brother Stan mentioned record, for you younger folks, back in the dark ages, that's how we used to have music. They were round things that you put on a thing and this arm came over. And it would spin and it would play. And you'd hear music. This is before the 8-track. This is before cassette.
That's right.
This is before CD, MP3, and all that, see. So, way back in the dark ages when nobody had any fun. Amen. John chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. The Bible says there, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Lord, once again, how we recognize our need of you, our need for you to superintend what takes place here, to have your will and way in these next few minutes in our hearts, in our lives. There are some truths we need to see. There are some principles we need to apply. And Lord, there's a reality that there are multitudes of people in need of the gospel who are not getting it. Help us to see that burden and carry that burden today. And Lord, to submit ourselves to you for whatever we can do, whatever we can give, that we might do as much as we can on our part to get the gospel to the lost, the dying of this world. Help me, Lord, to present these truths that hearts might be moved. I pray for one, or there may be more than one here today, who've never been saved. They've never trusted Christ. They do not have assurance of heaven when they die. And today we would love for them to come in the invitation that we might take the Bible and show them how they can have eternal life, forgiveness of their sins if they'd be willing to turn from their sin, repent, and come to Christ. Meet the need here today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When a little becomes much. When a little becomes much. This passage we've read is very familiar to us. But as I sought the Lord, and as I said, He burdened me about this. Now, this past Sunday through Wednesday, we had our annual missions conference. Now, I know, and I said in Sunday school, the attendance was not good, and we were saddened by that. We had weather issues. We had sickness issues. But we had our missions conference, and we did have folks come, and we had missionaries, and Brother Schindler preached, and we had a great conference. And the fact is that for the last 20 years, we have set aside a time during the year to emphasize and focus on this matter of missions. And during that time, to take up our faith promise pledges that will finance our missions budget for the next year. Now, when we talk about missions, we're talking about the sending out of missionaries and workers to carry the gospel message to the world. That includes America, our country, and the far-off nations, the whole world. Some missionaries labor in our own country. We do have home missionaries. Others go to foreign fields. But regardless of where they go, their goal is the same: seeking the lost, spreading God's word, reaching people for Christ. Now, missionaries, we believe, are sent and supported by the local church. We as a local church body of believers have a duty, a responsibility to send and support missionaries. We're not all called to go, but we're all responsible to have a part in the sending of missionaries. Now, oftentimes we find believers puzzled, if you will, or unsettled about their part in missions. Often people look at the monumental task of getting the gospel to every nation, every tongue, every tribe in the world, some near 7 billion people. And they look at the scope of the need, and they say, what can I do? How much can I give? And what part is what I do really gonna make a difference? It won't even put a dent in the need. How much is my little contribution gonna do when the need is so great? And sometimes, you know, people look at our church and they say, how much can our small congregation do to reach these millions of people in the world? And I believe the text that we've read this morning gives us the answer. See, we're looking at a situation, and by the way, this isn't just a nice story. This happened. This isn't a parable. This is a fact. This is an event that took place about 2,000 years ago. You know, sometimes people look at these things and they say, oh, that really didn't happen. Oh, yes, it did. Here's a crowd of 5,000 men, plus women and children. If you work out the numbers, this could well have been a crowd of 15,000 people very easily. That's a lot of people. And they've gone out into the wilderness. They've gone out because they want to hear Jesus preaching. He's preached all day, and now it's evening time. We know what happens at evening time. We all get hungry. They've been out there all day. It's evening time. Time for some victuals. But nobody has any food. We got 15,000 people and no way to feed them out there in the wilderness. But in that crowd of 15,000 people we've read here, there was a lad, literally a little boy, with what I call one little lunch, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. But, you know, as we look at that, if we didn't know the rest of the story, we would say, just like the disciples said, But what is that among so many? But the fact is, it was much when it was placed in the Lord's hands. Now today, each of us needs to see the truth that our little insignificant me and my little insignificant offering, the little we have can become much if we'll just follow the example of this little boy and put what we have in the Master's hands. There's a world out there in need. Their need is Christ. God has a plan to meet their need. We need to get our hearts in tune with God's plan so that our little can become much for the Lord. I want you to notice a few things from this passage. First of all, I want you to notice a little lad. In verse 9, it tells us about him. There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? So here in this verse, we find revealed for us who Jesus will use to accomplish his plan for meeting the needs of the multitude. A lad. This is a child. That's why the word lad is used. It refers to a pre-teenage youngster. I like to think maybe he was Aiden's age. I like to think that because that's that adventuresome age. You know, so I see a young fellow there, a lad who, in his adventuresome ways, wanted to go hear Jesus preach, and so he bugged mom till she made him a little food and sent him on his way. We don't find that he's with anybody. He's just a lad with a lunch. Preteen. He's a male child, of course. Lad refers to the male gender. And the fact is this, as we read about him and we think about him, he has to be the most unlikely candidate in that crowd to be used by the Lord. He's a little guy in a crowd of perhaps 12 to 15,000 people. He's a little boy, not only in the crowd of 12 to 15,000, maybe even more, people, but he's a little male in a crowd, get this, in a crowd of 5,000 men. Think about this. If several of us fellows were out there in the foyer, maybe 10 of us out there talking and fellowshipping and all and doing whatever we're doing, and Aiden walked up, who would pay attention to him? I mean, we're the guys, right? And if there were some guys out there fellowshipping and I went out and I said, hey, guys, I need a man to do something for us. I need some help here. Who would expect that it would be Aiden? Man, we got 10 men. Here's a crowd, 12 to 15,000 people minimum, and 5,000 able-bodied, adult, mature, fully grown men. You see, I see this little lad as rather insignificant among all these devout followers of Christ. He's a lad, notice this, we're reading about a lad who is in the presence of the 12 apostles. And yet he's the very one that's going to be a vital part of Jesus' plan to meet the need of the multitude. Now, we think about that, and it brings us to this. It's evidence that God can and use any of us. We, who we are, what we are, is no issue with God. He can use anyone and everyone that would be willing to be used. Here's the most unlikely candidate, and yet that's the very one that we're reading about. See, here's a problem with a lot of believers. They have in their mind that God is only going to use the brightest, the best, the smartest, the talented, those who have a lot to offer God. That's not so. Hold your place there. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to know something Paul wrote there. The Corinthians apparently had the same concept in their mind, you know. So Paul writes this, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. See, God delights in using what we would consider to be the unlikely. I thought about in the Bible, we read about situations where God chooses the least. David, that great man of God, David, when Samuel went to anoint the next king of Israel, he went to David's dad's house and he said, bring all your sons. And he paraded every one of those boys in front of Samuel. And there were seven of them came before him and he said, none of these are him. Eliab, you know, the big, tall, handsome, right on down the line. Samuel knew God said he's here. He said, well, you have anybody else? Oh, yeah, my son David's out there. He tends the sheep. He's just a ruddy lad. And well, bring him. And isn't that the one God had put his hand on? The least likely. Why, there were seven strong boys. Yeah. It's the ruddy little lad God's going to use. I thought about the story of Naaman. I love that story. How many of you know the story of Naaman? How he dipped in the Jordan River and got saved or got cleansed? He did all that because God used a little maiden who was Naaman's wife's handmaid. And through her, Naaman learned about the prophet who could tell him how to be cleansed of his leprosy. All the wise men and all the people that Naaman was around that had a lot of intelligence and abilities and maybe even medical knowledge. But no, it was a little insignificant girl God chose to use. I thought about Gideon. Remember when the angel showed up? Hail, thy mighty man of valor! Gideon's hiding in the wine press, grinding out some meal so nobody will see. Boy, that's a mighty man of valor, isn't he? Nobody knew him. He's insignificant, but that's the one God's going to use. I thought about Rahab, the harlot. And on we could. Well, one time God even used a donkey. The least likely. Where do we ever get this idea that God has to have the biggest and the best and the most talented and the handsomest and all that? No, God's just looking for some people, insignificant people, who would be willing to be used of Him. By the way, in this text, I want you to notice something here that kind of jumps out at you in verse 6. See, he's already questioning Philip. When shall ye buy bread that these may eat? What are we going to do, Philip? But verse 6 says this, and this he said to prove him, Philip. For he himself, Jesus, knew what he would do. Jesus already had the plan in place. Are you with me? Jesus already knew how he was going to accomplish this through this little lad. Nothing surprises him. He already had a plan in place for this to happen so that these people would have their need met. And I want you to take from that this. God has a plan in place. God already has a way to get this done. What he needs is people to cooperate with his plan. Ooh. And we're reading about a little lad who got in on it. So we see a little lunch, or a little lad, then we see a little lunch. Here we learn what Jesus would use. We saw who, a little lad. Now we see what. What's he going to use to feed this multitude? Well, Jesus seeks what's available. He says to Philip, hey, what do we have? When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, saw grace, he said, when shall we buy bread? And if you read the other accounts, you'll find out he's in essence saying, hey, how are we going to do this? Now, Jesus already knew what was available. He knew because he's God. He already knew we got 5 loaves and 2 fishes and we're going to use that. But see, Philip didn't know all this. He knew that there were no other resources available. They're out in the wilderness. And it's interesting what he says there to Philip. He says, when shall ye buy bread that these may eat? Philip answered him in verse 7, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now let's just stop there and consider this. 200 pennyworth. Some people, you know, supposedly know what they're talking about. Say that that 200 pennyworth would be 2/3 of a year's wages. That a pennyworth was a day's wages. Alright? So when he says 200 pennyworth would be 200 days wages, which would be about 2/3 of a year. A little less than that. I just did a little quick calculation here, and these aren't exact figures, but think about this. 200 pennyworth would be what could be bought for, say, 2/3 of a year's wages. If I'm told the average household income is somewhere around $50,000 right now. Average. $50,000. Let's just take that number. 2/3 of that would be about $33,000. So Jesus is saying $33,000 worth of bread today wouldn't be enough to feed them all. Now today a loaf of bread is what, $3? I'm not talking about Aldi or, you know, second hand store. I'm talking about a regular loaf of bread. $3 a fair figure. So you'd be able to buy 11,000 loaves. Well, that's a pretty good chunk of food. Yeah, but you got a minimum of 15,000 people. Somebody ain't getting any food. You know what happens when people don't get food? They get mean. They get ugly. So, there's just no way. And then what they had was insufficient. He said, well, what do we have? Andrew, Simon's brother says, well, wait a minute, I came across a kid out there and he's got a little lunch. Man, he had a couple fish and 5 loaves. That's it. That's all we got. Everybody else that had something must have ate it because nobody got anything anymore. So, that's what's available. And they say, well, what's that among so many? And what they're saying is, humanly speaking, our situation is hopeless. You with me? We've established that's where they're going. Jesus said, what do we have? It's nighttime. We got all these people and there's no place to get food. What do we have? How are we going to feed these people? And the disciples are coming back with this. They're saying, it can't be done. We've got 5 loaves, 2 fishes. What's that among so many? It's hopeless. And you know, that's where a lot of Christians get in this idea of reaching the world for the Lord. Say amen. We're never going to be able to reach the whole world for the Lord Jesus Christ. With that kind of attitude, we never will. We don't have the resources. We don't have the manpower. Well, it's not about the resources and the manpower. It's about putting what we do have in the hands of the Master and letting Him use it because He can make it enough. Now, Jesus says, let me go back and I have a reference here somewhere. I don't know where I put it. But in one of the other accounts, Jesus says, bring it to me. So they bring it and they put it in the hands of the Lord. And we learn here of Christ's ability to use the little we have to offer to do great things for Him. When placed as His hands, our insufficiency becomes more than enough in His hands. He just needs for us to be willing to give what we do have. I was thinking about some folks that gave what they... How many of you know Johnny Hudson? Oh, we need to get Johnny back. I keep saying that and I never get Johnny back. Johnny Hudson... mother had taken a particular drug that caused a deformity when he was still in her womb. The doctors told her to abort. Your child is not going to be normal. It's going to abort the baby. She would not do it. She went full term, carried the baby, delivered the baby. Johnny was born. Johnny Hudson has no hands, no arms, no legs. He has 1 foot. If you've met him, many of us have, you go to shake hands with Johnny, you shake his foot. At first, it's a little... Did you have that reaction first time you met him? He's in a wheelchair. Hey, I'm Johnny Hudson. Blah, 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 blah. And you're shaking a foot. But you know, it's interesting. Johnny got saved and Johnny gave his life to the Lord. And Johnny Hudson graduated from Bible college. And Johnny Hudson's in evangelism and he goes, from what I understand, he drives a car now. You say, well, I won't want to be around him. Well, I don't want to be around you sometimes. Amen. When you're driving. But anyway. Johnny's in evangelism. People have been saved and the gospel's gotten out through Johnny. Why? Because though he didn't have much, he's got far less than we have. He gave that little bit he had to the Lord and God has used it in a great way. I couldn't help again thinking about Shirley and Ed Dietz. Remember them down at Trinity? Shirley was in a wheelchair and they weren't well-to-do folks at all. They had this little van. I think it might have been a Volkswagen van or something. But, Ed used to bring her to church every service and he'd get out and he'd come around, get her wheelchair out and get her in a wheelchair and it was one of them, by this time, motorized ones and she'd motor on in there, you know, and Shirley was up in her years. So she wasn't any spring chicken. But Shirley had a bus route. When I went there, they told me, well, yeah, Shirley, she's a bus captain. I said, what? Yeah, she has a bus route, great bus route. Her and Ed, man, they run that thing every week. Dr. Gray told the story. He was preaching. Shirley was out there in the congregation. He was preaching about the need, and they needed bus captains and needed people to reach folks for Christ. So they gave an invitation, and Shirley Dietz came in that wheelchair. And he said, Shirley, what are you coming for? She said, I believe God wants me to be a bus captain. Dr. Gray said, Shirley, you sure? Yeah, God wants me to be a bus captain. Well, Shirley, I don't, God wants me to be a bus captain. Okay, all right. So they gave her a bus route. Her husband Ed would take her on Saturday and she'd go out there to visit her bus kids. She'd get in that wheelchair and she couldn't go to all the houses because of steps and things. She'd go down the sidewalk. How many of you know what a Claribel bell is? The old onk, onk horn. She had one of those on her wheelchair. She had Ed get one, put on her wheelchair. She'd pull up there. She'd onk, onk, onk. Kids would come out. See you tomorrow, kids. She'd give them some candy. And God used her to run a great bus route. She didn't have a lot to offer. But she put that little bit she had in God's hands and He used her. Hey, you ever hear of D.L. Moody? Do you realize D.L. Moody was a shoe salesman that simply gave his life to God and God took an insignificant shoe salesman and turned the world upside down with him? It's just a matter of putting whatever you have in the hands of the Master. Which brings us to this, a little surrender. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse 18, that's where Jesus tells them, to bring what this lad had. Let me read it to you. Matthew 14 and verse 18. Jesus said unto them, they have need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither. Now, this lunch belonged to that lad. Would you agree with me? It was his. And rightfully, he didn't have to share it with anybody. It was his. He had every right in the world to keep it and to eat it and to satisfy his own hunger. Obviously, he was hungry too. But there was a surrender here. See, this lad had to take his eyes off of himself and recognize the need of everybody, which caused him to be willing to give what he did have so that everybody could have. He had to surrender to the Lord what was his so others' need could be met. And that, you know, what we get from that is we as believers need to be willing to sacrifice and surrender what is rightfully ours and all. Listen, we can consume it on our own lust and desires and things of that nature. But God wants us to give it to Him. It's not about us. It's about Him and His work. We need to be willing to sacrifice to meet the needs of others. That means we need to give of our lives and of our time and our talents and our finances. What we have to give might seem like it's insignificant, like it's insufficient. Oh, I'm only one person in this great big world. I don't have much talent to offer, man. I can't sing, you know. I can't talk in front of people. Hey, quit worrying about what you can't and give God what you can. And let's get down to finances, because that's an important thing right now. We're taking up faith promise. Well, you know, I'll give what God tells me to give, preacher, but I can only give so much. And when you talk about the need of the whole world, and these missionaries come, and every one of them has a need, and Brother Schindler was saying how some of these missionaries are paying $7, $8, $9, $10 a gallon for gasoline. And how he brought up, you know, if I give $2 a week, I'm not even giving enough to put gasoline in it. Somebody said, hey, here's the thing. Find out what God wants you to give and give it. And whether it's a little, whether it's a lot, you put it in God's hands and He can multiply it. That's God's plan. God's plan is to take whatever little people put in His hands and multiply it and use it. And so we've got to be willing to do that. Sometimes we look at the faith promise and, what's that among so many? But we have to be willing. Sacrifice. Think about this. Think about the widow woman that Elijah dealt with. Remember how the Bible says Elijah came on her and she was gathering sticks. She had enough meal and enough oil to make one more cake. And she was fixing to go. She told him, I'm going to go cook this. My son and I are going to eat and we're going to die. All she had, that little bit of meal, that little bit of oil. You know what Elijah said to her? Give it to me. In essence, give it to God. He's God's man. Don't cook it and eat it for yourself. It's yours, I understand, but put it in God's hands. Give it to me. And you know she did. She listened to him. She gave him the meal. She cooked the cake and gave it to him. And you know, until that drought was over, her barrel was never empty and her oil jar was never empty. When she was willing to put into God's hands the little bit she had, God could multiply it and make it enough. We have to learn to sacrifice. Hey, don't you think that took great sacrifice on her part? Think about it. But she was willing. And then there's a little obedience. He said, have the men sit down. And we read how he had them organized in companies of 50. What's all that about? It's about this. I said it earlier. Jesus has a plan. He's going to have these people sit down in different groups, and then he's going to break the bread and he's going to give it to the disciples, and the disciples are going to take it to the individual groups and make sure everybody got. It wasn't just going to be a big crowd that some would get and some wouldn't. No, he wanted it organized so everybody would get. I believe God has a plan. I believe he has it organized now. The thing is, can you imagine this? Can you imagine if those disciples wouldn't do their part? Can you imagine if Jesus was willing to break the bread and give it to the people if the disciples said, we're kind of tired today, we're not going to do it. Well, Jesus would have done something to get... Can you imagine the chaos? Can you imagine that the plan God had in place wouldn't be carried out? And that's where we are today. God has a plan. The plan is for God's people to take the gospel, but so many of God's people are saying, let somebody else do it. I'm kind of tired. Well, I'll do it, but I got other stuff to do first. Can you imagine Peter saying, well, Lord, I'll take care of it, but you know, I got to go do a couple errands first. Oh, my. Obedience. Had the men sit down. They had them sit down. Then Jesus said, now, I'm going to break this and give it to you. You take it to them. And it's interesting how when the instructions were followed, like the Lord said, the need was met. And I believe if we would follow Jesus' plan today, the need would be met. And then finally, I want you to notice a little faith. Again, Matthew 14:18, where he told them to bring it to him. What was available seemed so insignificant, seemed so insufficient. What are they among so many? But Jesus said, you bring it to me. Now, a little bit of faith. Number one, the lad had to give it up. He had to have faith to give it up. Number two, the disciples had to put it in the hands of Jesus by faith. They didn't know what he was going to do. They had no idea the plan Jesus had. All they knew was, the master said to do this, and we're going to obey him and trust him. We've been with him long enough to know he's going to do something. We're just going to do what he told us to do. We don't know the other side of it. We don't know what's next. We don't know how he's got this thing worked out. But we're trusting him. And we're going to take what we have, we're going to put it into his hands, just believing he's going to take care of this need. You know, that's exactly where we need to be today. How in the world are we ever going to reach all these people in the world? I don't know how it's all going to get done. I know God's plan, and that's believers doing the work and believers being willing to go and all that. I don't know how God's going to see that everybody gets to hear the gospel, and I don't know whoever achieved that. But I know God has a plan, and our responsibility is to get in on His plan by faith. Give what we can give. Do what we can do. And if God calls us to go, to be willing to go. In essence, what we need to do is get our hearts in tune with God's plan. Did you see what we put up here before I got up to preach? If you were here for the missions conference on Wednesday night, we put up some pretty staggering statistics. And I know statistics drive you nuts. You know, they become just a bunch of numbers. But these are pretty staggering when we realize how many people in the world have no gospel witness. That's hard for us to get. And friend, what's even harder is when we understand that it's not just in foreign countries, even in America. There's people who haven't heard the gospel. And there's people who need churches and ministries, and there's a great need worldwide. We need to understand that. Sometimes we think, well, look at what we're doing for missions and our little church, you know, we're doing $24,000 in missions. But what is that among so many? Let's get the burden. Let's get to where we're willing to give up. We're willing to sacrifice. We're willing to place our resources in the hands of the Master. One of the interesting things we find as we go through our Bible is this, that God uses human instrumentality. Huh? Do you ever watch people? Do you pay attention to people? If you had a very, 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 very high priority job to get done, would you want to depend on people? Knowing what God knows about us? And yet, He's chosen and ordained us and given us the privilege of being used of Him. When a little becomes much, it's when we put it in the Master's hands. As long as we hang on to it, it's just going to be a little. That lad's lunch was never going to get any bigger. It was always going to be a little. But boy, when he put it in the Master's hands, look what happened to it. In that boy's hands, it could feed a couple of people, maybe. In Jesus' hands, it could feed 12, 15,000. And by the way, it could have fed more. There was leftovers. Huh? 12 baskets full. Brother Schindler threw out that question, wonder who got the leftovers. Maybe little boy got to take them home. Can you imagine him coming home if he got 12 baskets full of leftovers? Can you see him running up the walk? Mom, Mom, look what I got, look what I got. And she comes out, here's 12 baskets of leftovers. She'd probably say to him, where'd you steal that? Huh? And then he'd be able to tell her the story. I took that little bit I had and I put it in the Master's hands. He fed it, Mom, he fed all those people. Man, I don't mean he gave them a little bit. Man, they were stuffed. I mean, they were sitting around picking their teeth, burping stuff. And then they took up leftovers, Mom, and they gave them to me. All because I just put it in his hands. Have you put what you have in the Master's hands? That's the question today. You trying to hang on to what you got? Okay, it'll be what you got. It's not going to be anymore in a spiritual realm. But boy, if you just put it in His hands, whew, let Him multiply it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Lord, thank You for this lad and the story and how You've recorded it for us. Thank You that You've chosen to use the insignificant and Lord, what man would see as unusable. And in Your wisdom, You've chosen to use the foolish things of the world, the small things of the world. And Lord, today, we in this room don't have a whole lot to offer in a way of trying to reach 7 billion people. The task seems monumental, impossible to us. But we know our responsibility is to put our little bit in Your hands and let You multiply it and do with it as You can to reach some people for Jesus Christ, to do the work of Your ministry. You have a plan in place. It involves surrender, surrender of not just what we have, but our very selves. As our dear brother Schindler preached, putting ourselves in the offering plate. And Lord, help us today to to see that need. Speak to hearts here today, and especially to that one who's here without Jesus. They might be saved today. Amen. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, how many Christians in this room could honestly say, "Preacher, I believe I've given myself to the Lord. I remember a time in my life where I gave myself to God and told Him, 'I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll give what you want me to give. I'm yours. I'm yours, Lord. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? Hold it up high.'" Have you lived up to that commitment? I wonder, maybe you say, "I did that," but maybe today you would say, "I did that, but I backed up on it. I haven't been faithful to it. I know it and God knows. I want to get it right today. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? God bless you. God bless you. I want to get it right today. I want to get back on track. I gave Him my life and then I took it back. I want to recommit. Here's my hand." I wonder how many believers say, "Preacher, I want to be honest. I've never really given myself totally to the Lord, fully to the Lord. I've never given Him all that I have, all that I am. I put it at His disposal. Put it in His hands for Him to do what He needs to do. I've never put myself in the offering plate like I ought to. Today, God's speaking to me. I want to do that. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? Hold it up high. God bless you. I want to make that commitment. I want to be His fully, completely. Whatever I have, I want to be His fully and completely. Here's my hand." I wonder if there's some folks who say, "Preacher, God's really beginning to burden my heart about this matter of missions. I've not been very burdened about it before, but God's really working on me that I see the need. I see there's a world who needs to hear the gospel. And preacher, God's burdening me to get more involved however I can. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? Praying for missionaries, doing what I can, giving what I can. God bless you." I wonder if somebody here today say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm one of those who needs to hear. Today, I don't know if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. But I'd like somebody to take the Bible and show me today. I'd love to know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. God's speaking to me about it. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high?" Let's stand together. 485? 489. Here's the invitation. I'm going to pray. You need to come. You just leave your seat and come. Do business with the Lord. If you're not saved, you come and meet me right there and shake my hand, and I'll put you with a man if you're a man, lady if you're a lady, show you how to be saved today. Father, thank you once again for the opportunity to be involved in your work in this matter of reaching folks. Thank you that we can send missionaries, though you've not called all of us to go. We have a responsibility to send those who can and help us to live up to that. Bless in this invitation. You've spoken to hearts. Help folks come and do business with you and commit those things to you as you see fit. Bring that one who's here without Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will you come today? 489. Will you come today? Right now, God speak in your heart. Just step out and come. Holy Spirit of God is speaking to you. You come speak to Him. Just leave your seat and come. Will you come? Will you obey Him? Will you come? Bow your heads and close your eyes. Folks are coming. Folks are praying. You need to come. Too often we feel like others need to go, and we're glad for others who will go, but we never consider that maybe we need to go. God's true missionaries come out of local churches where God speaks to the heart of people and they surrender and they say, "I'll go. I'll go." Maybe it's you. Let's sing another verse of that invitation hymn. You're not saved. Will you step out and come? The Holy Spirit's dealing with you today. Will you step out and come? Will you come? Surrender. Will you come?